Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Wonderful Conversation. I'm the man with the mic, Kyle. Thank you for tuning in tonight, folks, to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, and I really hope you do. I really do. This Tuesday on the Wonderful Conversation, folks, one insurance company is basically going to end Obamacare. I want to get into that. Who is it? What's going on? Also, Tim Tebow, something he said that just, I love that man. Yes, me and Tim Tebow have a relationship. Yes, we do. We're gay. No, just kidding. But I love him for his outlook on life. Only if more people were outspoken like he is. I want to assure you that by Friday, Judge Gorsuch will be in the Supreme Court by midnight. A lot of people saying that even if they use the nuclear option or they try to filibuster, it's not going to work. Don't worry, Susan Rice, if the liberal media is covering her at all, it's though she had nothing to do with it. There ain't no whatever. I want to get into a little bit about her. An Alabama school is still not allowing a teenager to take his grandma to the prom. I'll get into that. And also there's three liberal donor networks and foundations that are tied to billionaire George Soros. And what they want to try to do is get all these organizations to try to go after Trump. God forbid, you know what I mean? Let's go after the man that's trying to make America great again. And something happened at an event I didn't even know existed anymore. WrestleMania 33. I'll get into what happened and so much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. John 13, 12 through 17. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Think about that as you're going through your evening tonight, and welcome to a wonderful conversation. What did I tell you? How many times? Like about a million times for like 3 or so years that Obamacare was not designed to work. It was designed to fail on purpose. Why? Because there are some people out there that would want a single payer healthcare system in this nation, but not enough to get it to pass or to become a thing in this country. So what do they have to do? Let's pass this thing called Obamacare. Basically a tax you're going to be forced to use. And in the process of passing this law, guess what? They want it to fail. Because when Obamacare fails, guess what's going to happen? They're going to introduce a single-payer healthcare system that's going to be horrible as hell, but it's going to seem like the greatest thing since sliced bread. What the single-payer healthcare system is going to do is they're going to go to you and they're going to say, "Okay, Melissa, yes, I'm the Surgeon General, and I want you to know that you really don't need a mammogram until you're 70. Well, you can have a mammogram when you're 30. But since the Surgeon General says you don't need one until you're 70, they won't pay for it. If the government says the Surgeon General tells you that you don't need this until you're 50, they might pay for it when you turn 50, but they won't pay for it before. Yeah, shingles really aren't that bad of a thing. You don't really need the vaccine, so we don't really recommend you getting it. So, well, if they don't recommend it, they're not going to pay for it, and you're not going to be able to get it unless you pay for it. That's what's going to happen, folks. I told you so, that this Obamacare was designed to fail. Knoxville, Tennessee is supposed to be, I guess, the first place where every, in their exchanges and everything, all the insurance carriers that were involved in it are bye-bye. Anthem, the insurer carrier Anthem, is going to be getting out of the exchanges. And what that basically means is, like, millions of people are not going to be able to have an insurance provider to choose from. They're going to go to their exchange website, and there's going to be no one to offer insurance to them. Huh. Wow. I thought I told you that it was going to fail, that it was designed to fail. I mean, it's kind of obvious when you hire a Canada company to design the web page that had failed and was fired by Canada. And they spent five times the money that it should have costed. But, you know, it's Trump's fault. I mean, because Trump took office. So obviously, you know, it's Trump's fault. It's going to be Republicans' fault, Trump's fault. They're going to blame them for whatever. Because Democrats can't do wrong. And if one ends up getting busted for doing something wrong, then they're actually good because... See, we're cleaning house. We're exposing this guy that got busted for doing something wrong. We're cleaning house. That's what we're doing. So even if a Democrat does something wrong, he's just used to see that, to act like they're cleaning house. Other than that, I mean, I guess that's how I look at it, you know. No one's perfect. You talk to all these Democrats, and Barack Obama was perfect. He never did anything wrong. He never screwed up. He never did anything wrong. Yeah, all that, yeah. No, the media made him look like that. Obama wouldn't have been able to do anything he did if he was a Republican. He had only certain people allowed to take pictures of him. He was very particular about who he had pictures taken of. And if they had a picture, if he was someone he was having the picture taken, they might have taken a million photos to get that one they sent to the media to use. I want to see Trump get away with that. You know, using his own photographers and only allowing certain people to interview him and only asking questions that are pre-approved and all that. I want to see Trump get away with that. Obama did. They didn't have a problem with it. But if Trump did it, Lord help you. But that's just how it is. That's just how it is. People don't care. You know, this whole Susan Rice thing, the media is slow to talk about it. They're really slow to talk about it, the mainstream media. But at the same time, when they do talk about it, they try to dismiss it like it's nothing, it's no big deal, it's all, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Even though the emails are there, the proof is there. You know, like even a lot of the CNN. They're refusing to report on Susan Rice's unmasking. I don't get it. I don't get it. But it's all tied to Obama. See, I think with Trump in the White House, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out. Like I know when Bill Clinton was president, we found out stuff in the last like 5 or 6 years through Secret Service that were there that, you know, they had to see that Hillary Clinton, she was getting violent and going after Bill because he was sleeping with everyone but her. She had a toy collection probably a mile long, but not him. You know, and but I think we're going to start seeing, because it seems like we're seeing more stuff coming out about the Obama administration. It's time in the White House, and he just got out of the White House only a couple months ago. But like those posts always said, you know, everyone's more concerned about if Russia's involved in hacking or helping Trump win the election when all these emails prove how corrupt the government is. No one's outraged about these emails that show how corrupt the government is, but these same group of emails get a DNC chairman fired. Prove that a DNC chairperson was taking and giving Hillary Clinton debate questions in advance. It proved it. And she's admitted it. But those same emails, when it comes to proving that our government is corrupt and Hillary Clinton has confidential, highly classified emails on her server. Nope. We don't believe those emails. Just, you know. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever, folks. It's amazing how liberals will sit there and, you know, they like pick through the stuff and see what they like and what they don't like. I support this. No. If it, how can this email be true, but this email not? I want to get into this because this is just awesome. I like Tim Tebow. He's just he's a man. He's true to who he is. You know, I don't, if I play in the NFL, if I'm a coal miner, whatever I do, I'm happy with what I do. I'm grateful to God for what I have. And I think that God has a specific plan for every single one of us. And I think that we also have choices that we can make to pursue it. And I think one thing I try to share with young people is that no matter, is that you matter and you are special. You're unique. That God created you for a reason and a purpose. You aren't an accident. You are special. You are important. And when you understand that and look at it that way, you can live that way, said Tim Tebow. And it's finally nice to have someone that kids can look up to and go, hey, look at this. And not someone beating his wife or abusing his girlfriend or dog fighting or going to a bar wasted with a gun and killing somebody or shooting himself or. And I guess it's been since high school that he played baseball, so we'll have to see. He kind of misses football, but you know, it's like, hey, I'm getting the chance to play baseball, and if it works, it doesn't. I've got all God will always provide for me something to do. So it's kind of cool, you know, to see someone like that, that you can actually say, hey, look at that guy. Look at Tim Tebow. He's a role model. He's someone that you can actually look up to. And you don't even have to be a young one to say, about time. About time there's someone that stands up and I mean, I guess it reminds me going back to the 80s, like when, like, Stryper said, okay, I remember when all the music was devil worship, and I got sent in eighth grade. I said this before to the principal's office because I had a Kiss shirt that said Night in Satan Service and all this. And I'm like, you know, and Stryper's like, well, we're a rock and roll band, but we believe in Jesus. Why can't we just preach the gospel with our music? And that's what they started to do. And the big thing back then, and I guess people cherish them to this day, is when they were throwing out Bibles at their concerts and people that got them, you know? Just like when you collect a guitar pick from a show or, you know, hey, I got a Bible from a Stryper show. But I guess it was like kind of one of those things where it's like, why does it have to be Guy Penrod? Why can't I listen to Christian music? Why does Christian music have to be like, you know, Guy Penrod? Why does it have to be, you know, Mark Lowry? Not that they're bad. I love that. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, there's times where I'm just like, well, where's Mark Lowry? I would love to hear some of his, I love some of his stand-up stuff that he does when he's on stage. And Bill Gaither, he's amazing. But some people are not into that, and they want to hear stuff that's like gospelly and inspirationally, that's not like Bill Gaither type music, you know, that Southern gospel stuff, you know. So, and they said, why can't we do this? And it's nice to have someone that says, I'm going to be outspoken. This is who I am. Take me or leave me. You know, if I play baseball, I play baseball. If I play football, I play football. If I run a restaurant, I run whatever I do, I'm giving it to God. Because someday that trophy is going to sit on the wall and collect dust. You know, it's not about us. You know, like Gail Royer said in Santa Clara Vanguard, someday the Vanguard is going to march without the guidance of Gail Royer. And they need to look forward, not backwards. You know, the marching band is not made up of Gail Royer. If you don't know, it's a Jomo Bugle Corps out of Santa Clara, California. And he was sort of like a Bob Knight, kind of like a Sir Alex Ferguson. In like 1980s, there was only like 1 year that they didn't place in the top three corps in DCI's World Championships. So he was just an inspiration. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. The corps is going to have to go on without me. This corps is not just about me. It's about everyone. You know, it's more than just me. And this world's more than just me. This conversation is not about me. Because like Donald Trump will tell you, I can bring jobs here, but if you don't want to work, what's the point? I can do this conversation, but if you don't take and do something with it, what good is it? You know, it's nice to see people like in England waking up and saying, screw this, I'm sick and tired of being held back while people over there are screaming anti-UK rhetoric. This is kind of pretty cool. Texas announces House Bill 81 that moved on with a 4-2 vote with some GOP support. Two GOP people went along with them. What it's going to do is it's going to take, if you have an ounce of marijuana or less, you're only going to get a ticket instead of a Class B misdemeanor, which it used to be, because they're finding out that there's... Oh, wow. There's 61,000 Texans who were arrested for possession of marijuana in 2015 for what? And what is it doing? Nothing. Nothing. And they're seeing how useless it is. Because, okay, the jails are just getting cram-packed with these people. And they're wanting to do something. So... I think more and more people are seeing how there's no real change in Colorado except for tons and tons of tax revenue. And they're saying, hey, watch all these Fox News specials and CNN and ABC and all this stuff where these people are like, well, as soon as you legalize pot, you're going to have violence is going to go up tenfold, guns and shootings and all this stuff. And this guy was saying this, and it's going on now, and it's only going to get worse. And this guy goes, what I'm going to do, sir, is I'm going to steal your marijuana. What are you going to do? Call the cops? It's illegal. You can't call the cops and say, hey, Melissa stole my stash. No. If you legalize it, they have no way to, they can, you know, you're not going to have that issue. And in Colorado, for an example, you have people that, yeah, if you want to smoke it, that's fine. I don't do it. That's not my thing. I don't have a medical need for it. I don't do it. So I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to be caring about it, because if it is, as long as you're not bothering me, I'm okay with it. If you get behind the wheel and you're wasted and you're drunk and you've had 75 beers, okay, I have an issue. Just like if you take THC crystals and you get so messed up to where you can't even stand up and walk, and you get behind the wheel, I'll have an issue. If you're responsible and take actions for yourself, then I have no problem with you. And there was a one of, I forget where, I had it somewhere on my, I'm trying to see if I can find this, because I had it, I think I saved it to my page, but there is a, someone on, yeah, Trump advisor, Roger Stone blasts Sessions in support of legal pot and quotes the Bible on Thomas Jefferson. Our forefathers knew the benefit of the plant. It uses a quarter of the water. And like they showed these fields that were severely droughted, and only crops of cotton that grew were the ones that they could irrigate. And I'm like, well, think about it. If they could only irrigate that much of hemp, you would probably get 5 or 6 times the materials out of it to make paper and cotton and all that, to make all the stuff that cotton makes. You know, like clothing and blankets and underwear and paper and all that stuff. You would get way more. I know. It's one of these things that we're starting to go back to our roots, back to like, you know, like the original Levi's jeans were made from recycled sailcloths that were made from hemp. It's one of those things that we're starting to go back to our roots and to stuff that we've always done. I can assure you that one way or another, he is going to get the necessary votes to get there by Friday night, says Chuck Grassley. He believes that Neil Gorsuch will be confirmed in the Supreme Court, regardless whether Democrats attempt to filibuster or there's a nuclear option or whatever they try to do, whatever. Republicans are going to get him in there. He's getting some Democratic support, and we have some Democrats in Indiana that have voted for him, and they are basically like, I'm done, because I have some liberal friends that like, this is, they're outraged. Because most of my liberal friends, it's like one way or the highway. There's never going to be anything good about Trump. Don't waste my time. Obama's perfect. He's never going to do anything wrong. Doesn't matter. You know. So, I mean, I'm not totally surrounded by people that see my viewpoint. I have people that are 180 degree from my belief and my view. And that's okay. A lot of us just learn to agree to disagree. They're never going to in a million years ever support my viewpoint, and I might not support theirs 100% of the time, but if there's something I see, okay, you know, I'm not just a one-way person. I'm not someone that says, okay, all Democrats suck, all Republicans are great. No. They're the problem, both parties. If something's going to work, you need to do it, whether it's a Democrat viewpoint or a Republican viewpoint. If I could give you an ideology that was a conservative ideology that is proven to work and would make you money, would you not do it just because you're a Democrat? I hope not. I hope a Republican would say, well, this is a proven ideology. This is what's making Chick-fil-A successful, but it's a Democratic ideology. I hope they would say, well, if it works, let's use it. But most won't, you know. Neil Gorsuch is someone that's like, hey, when you go in there, you got to look at the law and follow the law. I think he's going to be objective in how he runs and does. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think he's going to, I think they might try stuff, but he's going to get in, and it's going to be a good thing for the nation. My favorite guy. Oh, I love George Soros. I love you, buddy. He's a billionaire, and 3 liberal donor networks and foundations have ties with billionaire George Soros and have joined forces to form a new fund to resist Donald J. Trump. It's amazing how when Obama was in office, oh, you can't do that. That's the president has ultimate say, you can't do this and do that and do this and do that. But when Trump's in office, oh, we're going to get that. We're gonna go after Trump. We're gonna get that repealed. That's not gonna happen. Yes, we're gonna use this law and we're gonna stop him from doing this. We're gonna stop him from passing anything. We found a way to veto his veto of, you know, if he signed a bill in the law, we found a law that we can veto his passing of any bill. So that's how they sound. If Trump was gonna be so bad, wouldn't you want all his stuff to pass? So that when it fails, you're going to look like the good guys? See, we told you. We told you it was going to fail. We told you he passed it. It failed. Hey, we told for Democrats, hey, should have voted for Hillary. No. They're trying to block everything he's doing. Why would they want to block it if it's supposed to be so bad in the first place? When you want to showcase that it's bad? Showcase he doesn't work. All people are going to think like me. Well, gee, he tried to make this country better, but the Democrats kept blocking him, so I don't know what to think. And I got to vote for him again. Should I vote for him? I don't know if he did any good or not, because everything he tried to pass, they wouldn't allow it. But we need to take him down. Sure. I don't understand that logic. I mean, I don't understand that logic. But that's me. Maybe somewhere out there, there's someone that understands it and gets it. Right now, I'm not one of them. It's a new era, a new generation. Maybe I'm not supposed to understand. An Alabama school district is still with outcries from the nation, not allowing a teenager to bring his grandmother. What they basically said is, well, we have a policy that we don't allow anyone over 20 years of age to go to the prom. I would wonder that one, because we had a girl that actually didn't graduate, and she was 21 years of age, and she went back to actual, she didn't want to get a GED. She wanted to actually go back to high school to get a real actual diploma. And she was actually in high school when she was 21. Would they have not let her go? Probably not. But I can understand if it's like, okay, I want to take somebody that's over 21, that's not, but if it's your mother or your grandmother, yeah. To me, that takes a lot of guts to, for someone, this is my prom. This is my, and I don't know if he's, from what I understand, he's a senior. So it's not like it's his junior year and he wants to take his grandma. That way his senior year, he can kick it with his actual, the girl that he has. But he wants to surprise and take his grandmother, and they won't allow it. Nope. I mean, the dad's gone and everything, and now I think the students should just be like boycotting the prom. You know, it's not like he's asking to take a 23-year-old blonde. He's asking to take his grandmother. If it's a relative, it should be different. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. If it's a relative, you know, he's trying to do an honorable thing. But it's interesting. It is ridiculous. Because the family's like heartbroken. But I guess the prom night will not be a total loss. Because at the country club, at the FAULA country club, they've invited Bryce and his nanny to join them for a delicious meal on April 8th. And I guess they're going to allow him on the dance floor and all this stuff. So he's going to be able to give her a night, a special night that she never got to have. So it's going to be kind of cool. But still, I think they should make an exception. Anymore, I think we're so steadfast. Well, you know, a law is law. No one over 20. It doesn't matter if I'm, my mom never got to go to the prom and I want to take her, or it doesn't matter. I mean, at least maybe the dad would get upset. Hey, man, you can't date my mom. Or my wife, whatever the heck, you know. But, I mean, it's like we're so steadfast. This is law. You can't. Nope, can't. Over 20. I don't care. Sorry. Nope. Okay, it's my grandmother. It's not like, because I remember they had, I think it was a couple years ago, some kid asked like Taylor Swift or someone like that to the prom. And actually got a response back, and she goes, dude, like, you know, because she's a celebrity and stuff, there'd be a lot of security issues. And she said, so she invited him to like one of the like Oscars or something, like, or the Grammys or one of those, to be his date. And so he got to do that because that's more secure. They can, and she goes, it takes, I don't know, I guess now because of social media and stuff, you could get on YouTube and post a video and stuff. But like back in my day, I don't know how you would write a celebrity and say, I want to go to the prom with you. And she goes, it takes a lot of guts to do something like that. I don't know when I was in his age if I could have done that. I said, Uncle Jed, can I take Granny to the prom? I just want to get your permission before I ask her. Well, I guess, I guess you're right. I better take Ellie Mae. Yeah, at least. Well, if you get Granny's elixir, I think she'll be fine. But hey, you know, I don't know if I could have like asked a celebrity who I would ask if I get into the prom. I mean, the closest person I would ask is like Blossom. But that'd have been it. I never thought like that. I don't think we ever really did. But I have about 22 minutes left in the program, or a little after, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. But yeah, just frustrating. I didn't know. I had no idea that they still did WrestleMania. I still remember when, like, Hulk Hogan took on Iron Sheik, and these. I remember when you couldn't see them. They weren't like pay-per-viewed, or at least we couldn't get them, and you'd have to look in the paper to see what happened. And because I remember at the Detroit Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, when Hulk Hogan took on Andre the Giant, the last one I really truly remember was when it was like WrestleMania 8, when they came to Indianapolis for the first time at the Hoosier Dome, and it was Indiana's favorite Bobby Heenan, not Bob Knight. And I knew people that went from my high school that said that they had like a Bushwhackers. They had like three matches that happened before they went on the air. And like there was a British the Bulldog match that never happened. And some of them actually said what I always used to, the sentiment I always used to get, that by the time the final match of WrestleMania came, because I watched a lot of them I just watched on VHS, like the replay, but that was one that I got on pay-per-view. And when it happened, by the time that final match came around, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to watch it. But I mean, that was last one. I think that was like 83 or whatever, something like that, 82 or something. The WrestleMania 8, I didn't even know they still did it, but I guess it's still huge. There's tons of people on Facebook. Oh my gosh, Undertaker's final, his career's over. And I guess John Cena engaged after their tag team match against Nikki Bella, his longtime girlfriend. He proposed to her, and I bet you he already did that like for real with his wife in a private thing.
Honey, they have a reality show. John Cena has his own total diva reality.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I don't follow.
Yeah, but not married.
No, but engaged. I bet you he did that privately. Because, I mean, that'd offend me, kind of, like, okay? You know, this is a personal thing between me and you, and doing it, you know, she had to know they were doing it. Because what if she would have slapped them? Well, you think about it. All those guys that take their girls to, like, the NBA game, and they go down to the court and ask their wife to marry them, and the women slap them. I'm like, I would only do that if my wife was, let's say, like, a Detroit Pistons fan and had, okay, this is my 10th year of season tickets. You know, I'm courtside every game. Okay, then I could see doing that because that's her passion. Or she has season tickets to the Detroit Tigers behind the dugout. You know, she's right here where the dugout is on the Tiger side. She's in the front row right behind there because when she was a little kid, she got up on there. And that's where she's had season tickets ever since. then I could say, okay, yeah, she goes to like 95% of every Tigers game throughout the season. Yeah, I could see proposing, but that's why I'm not, that's why I think she probably knew what was up, just, you know, because a lot of those WrestleManias are, they're pretty scripted. Because like when Owen Hart fell, there were no cameras on him, and Vince McMahon came on the air several times and goes, folks, this is not part of the script. The show has stopped. Something is majorly wrong. Owen Hart was not supposed to come down and all this. And well, as you know, he didn't make it. But my point in the whole thing is, I basically didn't even know they still did WrestleMania. So not that I guess I was a fan back in the day, back when it was wrestling. Now it's not, in my opinion. I think it was Goldberg or one of them that the fans wanted back. And when he came back, he did it for like 6 months. And he's like, when I grew up, when they had the NWA on TBS and they had Tony Schiavone and they had Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen, I'd let my kids watch that. The stuff they have now, there's no way. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't girls sitting there half naked, you know, cursing, and it's just one of those things that for me, because like when they did that, they had like one set where they did like a couple matches and they had a couple people, and the rest of the matches were recorded in wrestling events that went on. I didn't realize that, like, you know, you may have seen, let's say, like Monday Night Raw, they did a Saturday night main event, and I didn't realize this up until a couple years ago that it was when Saturday Night Live used to only be live. If you didn't see it on TV, they didn't air it. Unless it, now they will air sometimes like reruns. They never aired reruns. If it was Saturday Night Live was on TV, it was live. And when they weren't airing Saturday Night Live, they did that Saturday night's main event in its place. And it's one of those things that I didn't realize that like the two or three things you would see on TV were only a part of it. I mean, they in some cases at times had like two events, you know, one, I mean, every night they had an event somewhere, and like they would have an event here and an event there. So like, if you knew what was going on, you could say, okay, well, Bret Hart's wrestling in Florida at the WWF event down there, so there's no way he could be coming here. Oh, I wanted to see him. Nope, he's wrestling in, because if you knew that kind of stuff, you would know that. But I always wanted to be the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, but that's Bret Hart, so sorry. Sorry, folks. But when I grew up, it was something that you could watch, that I would let my kid not that stuff now. And I think it's kind of neat that it still goes on, but, you know, I just didn't realize that it's been 33 years. Wow. But I wonder if, like when we were kids, we were like, Russia was an enemy, so they had, like, the Americans versus, like, the Russians, like, Ivan Drago and Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff, and they had the Russians. And I remember, like, when we were taking on Iraq, they had like Iron Sheik and all those different things. Do they have like wrestlers that are like ISIS, since they're like our enemy? Or is that something that they just say nope and they stay clear of? Who knows? Who knows, folks? I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around this great nation. I just got to get into this because it just came up. 6-3, the Detroit Tigers beat the White Sox. Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Now the Britney's going to come out because I'm kind of frustrated a little bit. Okay. They will sit there and say, well, it's been how long since we've had a loss at Old Trafford or since Manchester has lost a game or whatever. But what they won't tell you is 90% of them are draws, not wins. And, you know, if you take two wins, that's 6 points. Two draws, that's 2 points. Well, two is better than zero, I guess, but still, it's just like frustrating when we draw against Everton today and over the weekend, we draw scoreless against West Bromwich Albion. And the West Bromwich manager kind of said it best. He goes, they can complain all they want about, oh, we have injuries and we have people that are suspended and people that can't play. Jose Mourinho is fronting a £205 million lineup on that pitch versus my lineup on the pitch, my starting grid of £42 million. That's how much it cost to have those players on the pitch for United versus West Bromwich. £205 million to £42 million. You would think the £205 million would be able to do something. I just feel frustrated, like they're stuck, like they don't know. I don't know. I kind of feel that way with like Matt Painter, like the Purdue basketball coach. Like, I feel like he's getting this to a point, but it's how do we get over that hump? How do we get, okay, yeah, we're really good in the Big Ten. We're really great, but outside of that, once we get to the big dance, it's just, we kind of like fail. We got to figure out something. Because if those rumors are true that De Gea's wife is in Spain looking at houses, and he's not there next year, we're going to need some luck with the goal. I just don't know. It just seems like it's, I guess it's frustrating when you sit there and you're like, okay, look at the talent we have, and they just can't seem to close the deal. Like in the beginning of the season, like the first half of the season, we had more shots on goal than any team, but nothing was getting past the net. But now there's games where it's like shots on goal are like we're not having many shots on goal at all on either side. So we'll have to wait and see on that. And there's like a key that's missing. You know, like they gotta take more urgency. I think they gotta be quicker. So enough about that, folks. I mean, we're in fifth place, so I think we can get to fourth by the end, I hope. But a lot of prospectors are kind of saying that they think the best chance of us getting into the Champions League is winning the Europa League, which I think we have a good chance at doing that. So enough said there, folks. I want to quick move on to some motorsports. And what a race at Martinsville. The crowds, I mean, they used to build those tracks to, okay, yep, we need to upgrade to get more seats. And now it's like there are sections of seats that they put advertising in where people used to sit there. And it's just, I don't know. I'm still not a big fan of the segment thing. I guess to me, when you're at a race and the car is going by at 190 miles an hour or 210, like an Indy car, 227 or whatever, How can you be like, I know so many people that, yeah, I could just go for like the start of the race. And then once they're going, it's like boring. I'm like, you blink and a car can slam right into your section, into the wall. I mean, there was one time where I'm watching the cars going around and all of a sudden, oh, I hear bang and a car hit the guardrail right where we were, right where our seats were, and debris ended up flying the opposite direction into the stand, into the infield, and hit somebody, I guess. And my parents knew where our tickets were for many years in this one section. They're calling like, are you okay? We know where that wreck was. I'm like, yeah, we're fine. It went into the infield, and we were asked to pray for them, which the whole stadium did, and the whole track basically. But it was just like, but so many people like, oh yeah, after the start finish line, I can, you know, once they get to the start finish line, they start the race. It's kind of like boring. Like a restart, it's kind of like, oh wow, we get to kind of have like a start of the race again. After the start of the race, it's kind of like boring. I can just go to sleep. And that's not, I'm like, how can you? Oh, look at that. Oh, Jeff Gordon's got to get around Jimmy Johnson, wreck him out, do something. I don't care. It's always like that. It doesn't matter. It could be Dale Jr. He might be, I'm always on like my feet. But I feel like they do this, segment thing to try to get to have so that there's like, okay, now we're like part two of the race, and here's part three. Okay, now we got to get ready for this part, you know, so then to get the people that felt like they were falling asleep. But the people like me, it's kind of like, okay, I'm still not feeling it, but I mean, I still like the sport, but I'm just not feeling it. And my man, the Polish king, Brad Keselowski, number one. Chase Elliott is in third. Kyle Busch was second. Chase, he's going to get a win. He's just too good and racing too amazing to not get a win. He's going to get a win soon. And he's going to be in victory lane a lot, I have a feeling. Once he gets that one figured out, that first win, he's going to unlock that door, and he's just going to be in victory lane like Dale Sr. was. And you're going to be like, Chase Elliott, please give someone else a chance. He's going to be like a Dale Sr. or like a Jimmy Johnson. I give Jimmy Johnson crap, but he is one phenomenal driver. He's 8-time champion. I believe he could get Nate's championship. Now that they've done this segment thing, I think it's going to throw him for a loop, but I think he could do it still. He's just amazing because he had that Dale Sr. philosophy. I don't care if I'm 50 laps down. I want to be 49 laps down. I want to get that lap back. He just screwed me on a fantasy team in like 2006. That's the only thing he's ever done. And I never forgave him. I just told you what he did to me. She must be a liberal. I tell her, explain what happens, and she's
whatever.
But hey, I mean, who would ever expect Kyle Larson to be in first place? Chase Elliott in second, I could see that. He's been dominant. He's been dominant last year, coming in dominant this year, but Kyle Larson is still in first in the points. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great season. I can't wait for some more IndyCar racing. I'm going to quick get into this because this was kind of an interesting story. Jeremiah Morin, 37, of Texas, is being accused of firing at the men indiscriminately because I guess his wife, his fiance, was being attacked by two men, and he was firing at them and shooting at them, and he's getting charged. with a third degree felony for aggravated shooting at two men who were attacking his fiance. And I guess that's what he's being charged with now, but they're investigating it because him and an attorney and stuff, like, okay, so what is he supposed to do if his wife's getting beat? And that's Texas. Normally, Texas would be like, heck, you didn't, like, put him in a body bag? You didn't have him ready for us? That's what I'm wondering. The article's not that long, but I'm going to look into this more on Thursday on my day off. I want to read into this. I have an attorney friend. I want to ask him what he thinks about it, because he always, when I put stuff like this, he'll always say, well, this is why they did what they did. This is the reasoning. Here's the laws. He's always into all that, like, law stuff, like, well, because Texas law, you do this and this and this, and because there's lots of people, he was not just shooting at them, he could endanger other people, and okay, then that makes a whole bunch of sense. But, wow. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the program that I hope you're a part of. I hope you get something from this, and you take a different side. And you say, wow, I never thought of it like that. You know, why can't we come together? I never thought of it like, wow. You know, why aren't they letting Donald Trump pass all the things he wants to pass? And then when it fails, he's the one to blame. Yes, sir. Unity. It's crumbling healthcare. And I told you so. Not that I wanted it to, but that's what I told you. That's why you got to wake up. That's what I told you. You know? So, it's going to be a lot of interest. It's going to be interesting if Obamacare starts to go apart. And I think Trump just kind of wants to let it fall apart and then say, hey, we didn't pass but then they'll find some way to blame Republicans no matter what. I mean, they have had, like, how many years to come up with a real solution? They didn't have to wait till a Republican was in power. But, hey, what do you know? I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And until Thursday, folks, I just want to remind you, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pleasure each other, our lives. Until this coming Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.